Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you. And first of all, for all the fathers out there, and I guess me included, happy Father's Day this Sunday. And of course, this is Andrew Fetter. Welcome to When Pigs Fly. And God, I don't know if all those people watching in the U.S., watching that game yesterday, that was something else. I'm a big Laker fan, so congrats to the Lakers, man. Go Lakers. But it just shows that I know people maybe might be too much into sports or maybe just watching the World Cup, but that game, even though some may not be so much into sports, but this really definitely shows when you will it, you can do it. And they basically willed their way to win, and it just shows precedence that, you know, if you believe in what you're doing and believe in trying to foster things and believe in what you're trying to encompass, then you can move mountains. And we do have that ability. I guess that's what they meant when they says in there, God made man in his own image. It's supposed to be metaphorically. But anyway, I have a very special guest. But before I do, of course, she's going to lay out a whole bunch of material, what's happening in the next 3 months, which I really can't wait. This coming weekend, on the 26th and 27th, for those who will be in Las Vegas, Nevada, I will be out in your area and doing two back-to-back signing events on Saturday, on June 26th at 1 p.m. I will be at Barnes & Noble, and that's in the Crossroads Commons in Summerlin part of Las Vegas. That's 8915. Across from the Boca Park, and the cross streets are, of course, Rampart and Charleston, and I look forward to that. And then the following day, of course, that's on the 27th, I feel honored at once again being at a Borders Town Square at 2 p.m., and that's at 6521 Las Vegas Boulevard, South Las Vegas. It's not far from Russell, and see you all there. Just come on down, and doing my event on my new book, Spirit. There'll be special gifts given away toward each purchase of a book, which I feel fortunate to be able to do that. And if anybody comes out there, feel free when you talk. I love meeting new people and chatting and meeting people who have listened to me on my show or past things or read about me or whatever, or just about things that's on their mind, about what they have questions, just come on down. Also, if you have any questions or comments or things on your mind, or even sometimes I put new shows about what comments and people request, do feel free to email me at flyingpigs@artlover.com. And again, check out my website at andrewincognito.com. There are links there for all three of my books, including my newly released book, Spirit, and of course my past book, The Heretic, and of course When the Angels Have Risen. Now, I have a very, very special guest, and she comes on, I have her on almost every 3 months, you know, the solstice, the equinox, you know, whatever, us, and she's an esteemed astrologer as well as intuitive. She's done astrological reports for me for, God, it seems like almost 2 years now. And everyone, or longer than that, I think, has been highly accurate. It's amazing how accurate her astrological analysis have come. When you look back on each one of the events, you can go back and look in the archives and see corresponding what she has outlaid and what has happened. Of course, we do have choices, but certain energies manifest and our tendencies that happen sometimes are karmic and sometimes meant to be. And all events are neutral. It's how we react to them. So, lo and behold, I have Kara Feza. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good, and thank you for having me on your show. This is a really exciting time. this is going to be maybe equivalent to the summer of 69, where you had within, I think, the same weekend, Woodstock and the Sharon Tate murders out in L.A., and then within a week of the moon landing. And I think this summer holds the same potential for such events, good, bad, and ugly.
Wow. Well, we've had some ugly events right now in the Gulf region, and that's pretty devastating. People are making, some people, it's not getting enough of, they're getting a lot of news, but it's really devastating and unfortunate. So what, in your analysis, how do you see, you said this is similar to like 69, with things happening like 69. Of course, isn't that when there was a lot of great music came out to that time, too. A lot of culture, the blossoming of, some people call it the hippie culture, the love and peace culture, and I guess the time there. So do you see it in that sense? It's supposed to be like, you know, all lovey-dovey, but then we have the clash. Is that what you're sort of implying?
I see lots of stuff. And if you're ready, I'll get into the nuts and bolts of it, and you can draw your own conclusions, because not only do we have the summer solstice, and I really appreciate you having me on your show so we can talk about events every 3 months. And what else is really significant with this summer solstice that's occurring on Monday, where the sun enters Cancer, is 5 days later on Saturday, when you're doing your book signing, actually, in Las Vegas, we're having a lunar eclipse. Now, we have 4 to 6 eclipses per year, but this eclipse is really significant, and it ties in with the summer solstice chart. So, shall I begin?
And then, Go for it.
You can fire questions at me at the end and see if I can answer them.
Yeah, hopefully I can answer them. I'll probably just have to, I may have to get a bag of popcorn and just listen in here. Go for
it. Well, the summer, yeah, okay, that's cool. Well, this is just, I just want to get the nuts and bolts out there so people can kind of grasp it. I don't want to make it too technical, and we only have a limited amount of time. So let me just say, on the solstices and the equinoxes, what you're dealing with is the zero Aries point. That's when the sun enters those time frames. It's always relevant to the zero Aries point. The vernal equinox in the spring, the sun is actually on the zero Aries point, but all the other equinoxes and solstices are relevant to that point. So that's where we usher in those 3 month periods. What's important with this lunar eclipse is that it happens 4 degrees away to relevance of the zero Aries point. So the things that happen on the that are ushered in with the solstice are going to get a major impact behind them. And what brings it much more fascination is the key players in both these charts. Now, the sun is always a key player. Your sun sign, what you are, it's your basic nature. It's the masculine principle or archetype of the chart. The sun enters Cancer on the 21st, relevant to the zero Aries point. The eclipse is about the moon, because it's a full moon eclipse. It's intense lunar energy, the female archetype, representing not only Mother, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, but our homeland, our country. Cancer is the ruling sign of our country. July 4th is celebrated in the sun sign of Cancer. So issues of real estate, home, family, and military in our country come very much to the forefront. And on a lunar eclipse, on a full moon, the sun is opposite the moon, so you have an opposition of energies. Now, relevant to that, on all the other equinox points, we have other planets. Coming in on the solstice, we have a very, very important, at exactly 0 degrees Aries, is the planet Uranus. And Uranus takes about 80 to 90 years to circle the zodiac. So you're going back about 80, 90 years since the last time Uranus was at the zero Aries point. So you have the Uranus in kind of a conflict to the sun, but most relevant, it's dipping into the sign of Aries, which is the pioneer. It initiates new things. It is ruled by Mars, war, aggression, drive, ambition. And Uranus is the planet of the unexpected and the shocking. So you put it up there on the zero Aries point in, you know, in the sign of Aries, and you're going to see a lot of energy that's relevant to, like, anarchy, revolutions, the unconventional, wanting to be unrestrained, and freedom.
So if you, so Carrie, if we go back, because there seemed like a very highly technical stuff in sort of like layman terms, sort of, what would you say, what would be the, going back to each, because you go into like a series, a whole bunch of different influences there in houses and stuff, going spec by spec, how would you say each one would, you can elaborate to more layman terms of how they are affecting, whether it's our nation, us, individually on a whole or whatever. Can you elaborate on in that aspect?
Well, the energies I'm describing are going to apply to us as a country, us as a collective on the planet, and they're going to affect us individually. But when I do these charts and events, I look at them more in mundane terms of how they'll affect us more as a collective.
Okay. But how
whatever
do you...
is felt on the collective can be felt on a personal level. And if you want, I'll get into the energy of each of the planets that are the major players in this configuration.
Okay, that's what I was going to. Okay, so that so keep on going, and then we'll come back to each section, because it seems like you had chapter by chapter by chapter of each individual thing. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That's
go,
okay.
Keep on going, because I was going, whoa, wow, this is like, and if it's getting sound like a little bit of. Calculus here for me, then I go, oh my God, imagine out there too. Okay.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad you pointed that out to me. That's why I just want to zero Aries point, crucial point in the zodiac, and that's relevant to every solstice and eclipse. What makes the next week's events between the solstice and the eclipse energy is the zero Aries point not only comes into prominence with the solstice, but it factors in with the eclipse. And a rare planetary occurrence right now is that the planet Uranus is on the zero Aries point. Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury, which rules intelligence. That would be our intel on what's going on around foreign countries and maybe within the universe. Uranus is the higher octave of that. It's super intelligence, but it also rules the shocking and the unexpected. So a lot of unexpected events this summer. Uranus rules earthquakes and explosions, so look out for more of those events on a mundane level. It's
wow.
Unpredictable and it's unrestrained. So Uranus requires freedom, and it also rules the unconventional. Okay, so it's in the sign of Aries, which is ruled by Mars, drive, passion, war. Uranus and Mars together are often warlike aspects. But what Aries does too, it's the beginning sign of the zodiac. It's the pioneer, the initiator. So when you have the planet of the unconventional coming in, we're pioneering some unconventional ways. Now,
so
Uranus.
So it can be almost like new thoughts, a way of looking things, new challenges even. New the beginnings, and I don't want to, you know, speculate on saying there's revolutions, but more or less like almost like spiritual revolutions in that sense.
But it's interesting you say spiritual, because Uranus is sitting next to Jupiter, another key player on the zero Aries point. And Jupiter rules religion and spirituality. And I think we're going to, and don't forget Uranus, the key word there is unconventional. So Uranus is going to dip back into Pisces mid-August, so we're just going to get a little taste, a little flavor of this. Then in 2011, Uranus will go back into Aries and stay there for approximately 7 years. So we're just going to get a little taste on this next three-month period of what is to come in the future. New ways, like you said, but it's going to be kind of shocking and unexpected. It's going to shake up
like
the old guard.
So it's like giving us not just a little appetizer. We're getting like a whole big dish of salad and soup in the very beginning, knowing what will be we're going to be experiencing the following next 7 years, basically. So we're getting sort of a taste.
We'll get a taste. We won't know exactly what it is, because Uranus is also the unexpected.
Right.
And you're in the sign of Aries, which pioneers new things. So I'm thinking more in terms of like medical marijuana is unconventional. And we've made a lot of headway, if you want to look at it that in that perspective. So we might have more things like that, unconventional health care. We've seen smoking really become taboo. We might see the cigarettes become totally illegal, marijuana become legal. Now, it's next to the planet Jupiter, which does rule luck and abundance, so we could have some really unexpected lucky breaks. Uranus also rules the sign of Aquarius, which is humanitarianism. So as you said, and relevant to the 60s, we might see a whole new generation that wants to embrace humanitarian projects and comes out very strong against the old guard or the old government, relevant to the 60s. A lot of love and peace, that would definitely be part of it. But Jupiter is also excess, and it magnifies things. So whatever Uranus brings to us in Aries, the unexpected, the unconventional, the shocking, the very new, the very cutting edge of technology, Uranus rules technology, in the sign of Aries, the pioneer, the brand new beginning, Jupiter is going to magnify that. And this is relevant to the summer solstice and the sun entering Cancer, the sign of our country, the military, real estate, the homeland. Now, opposite Uranus and Jupiter is the planet Saturn. Uranus and Saturn have been opposite each other for a while now in the zodiac, in the signs of Pisces and Virgo, which they were in the 60s, only they were in the reverse sign. So we've mentioned that 60s energy before, old guard versus the new, but now they move into really significant parts of the zodiac relevant to the solstice cycle. So Saturn is still in Virgo, but it's going to enter Libra in the fall. I wrote down the exact date. Yes, Saturn goes into Libra at the end of October, went into Libra last October and November, so we got a taste of that last fall. Now, it'll enter Libra again late July, and it'll be on the zero Aries point again, the very crucial point. And Saturn is the old guard, the conventional, the traditional, your authority figures, your limit. It's kind of like liberals versus conservatives. Within the next month and a half till mid-August, we're going to get a change of sort of a revolutionary, maybe even anarchy attitude. Then when Uranus retreats back into more passive Pisces, Saturn comes to the fore at the zero Aries point. And there's a resurgence of conservatism, traditionalism towards the last part of this solstice period. Did I lose you yet, or are you still with me?
No, I understand. So there's going to be a challenge, and then there's going to be almost like a backtracking of some conservatism, as you were saying, and then it's going back again, almost like a, if I was watching, looking at a wave chart going up and down, and it would go all of a sudden up to a different period, if I was watching, like I said, a chart and the thing would shoot up, not necessarily saying liberal or conservative, but it would be different. And then all of a sudden we go into the stage that's into a sort of a conservative possible look at, a look on things, on certain issues. And then you're saying then it goes back again to a more resurgence of, looking for, you said anarchy, but it'd be even maybe of an embracing of real liberty and freedom.
Right, and that comes in January. I'm sorry, I have so many notes here. That comes back in 2011. Uranus goes back in March of 2011.
Wait, when does that come back in 2011?
Around the time of the spring equinox next year, which, again, we're exactly on the zero Aries point.
And when is the time you said about, and you said the upswing of conservatism in the is happening?
The conservatism is happening towards the last half of the year. Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties here with my mouse on my computer. Sorry.
We're going to have a resurgence
of conservatism towards.
So that's going to happen
toward the end of
November.
Yes, I'm sorry, forgot to shut my other phone off. Having technical difficulties today. Oh, I'm sorry. Can you? Hello.
Yeah. Anyway, I was saying, so there's going to be an upswing of in November of some conservatism, and since this is dealing with primarily a lot of dealing with the U.S., it would sort of correlate to there is actually sort of like an upswing of, I don't know if really like calling them conservatives, the Republicans are, Jesus, what's going on over there?
It's, I forgot to shut my other phone off because usually I'm on it. My apologies. No, just let me finish this because it's, and then you can ask your questions at the end because what's happening is we're getting off track and I just really want to get the nuts and bolts out and then you can draw your own conclusion.
Okay.
What I'm, you're gonna, I think you're gonna get a taste over the next, okay, the solstice period looks at a 3-month angle. For the next 2 months, I think we're gonna see, we're gonna get a hint of what is to come in 2011 as a new age movement. Similar to what was happening in the 60s with the generation gap and the big change there and the cultural attitudes and the sexual revolution, this one would be more related to technology, and it will, it could be as violent as some of the things we saw in the 60s, but there could also be new beautiful breakthroughs. So again,
and this is during what time, what period?
The next 2 months.
Months, okay. All right, go ahead, sorry.
And then towards the end of this solstice period, into the fall, I think we're going to see, you know, the conservatives strike back, very similar to the 60s, we, you know, the Nixon era and the military versus the hippies, the yippies, and all that. The rest of this year, I think we're going to see, and we'll visit this again when we do the fall equinox, we'll see a resurgence of conservatism. As we move into 2011, and especially when we hit the spring equinox, we're going to see for the next 7 or 8 years this new age, new technology, new resurgence of freedom that comes with Uranus in Aries. Now, because Jupiter is also a big player, some of the issues that are going to be on the drawing board are religion, you mentioned that, and religion versus spirituality, old guard and new guard. They're looking to take, you know, the religion out of schools. They've done that and just totally eliminate it from government. Jupiter also rules laws, the laws of our country, and I was using the marijuana law as an example. There can also be universal laws because don't forget Uranus also rules UFOs and extraterrestrials. So we can see maybe more things in that area, too, like we had back when nuclear weapons came out, a lot of UFO sightings, if, you know, you believe in that. Other issues that are going to come into play are higher education, philosophy, and anything that has to do with foreign affairs, whether it's outsourcing for labor, the Gulf War, or looking for oil abroad. These are all going to be key issues relevant to Jupiter next to Uranus on the zero Aries point. Laws, gambling, foreign affairs, religion, higher education. And Jupiter is very idealistic and self-confident. So when you put that next to Uranus and the humanitarian aspect, you can see that there's a strong coming together of united souls, whether it's in the collective conscious or whether they come together literally like people did in the 60s.
Hmm.
Now, when you move, the real key point I wanted to mention, too, is what makes all this even more relevant. What, with all that energy you have just in the solstice chart, this lunar eclipse that comes along 5 days later is like throwing all that energy on steroids because the eclipse is only 4 degrees away from that. And it's going to magnify and intensify all those energies. Eclipses change, too, and it can bring hidden things into the light. Eclipses can be very revealing. So you pile that energy on there. And I want to make one really, really important point about the eclipse. But before I do that, do you have any questions on what I've already reiterated?
Well, because there's so much in there. It seems like there's, what you explained, there's a lot, like, between, well, I was going to ask you about the eclipse, it's sort of funny. And because it falls like within the 20th, when did you say that falls on the 21st? Or when does that fall?
The 26th. The summer 26th. Solstice is on the 21st, followed 5 days later by a lunar eclipse.
How is that going to, since, because I know the eclipse always have a serious effect on certain things, what aspect would that affect in that, because it is falling on the 26th, how does that relate to us?
Well, it's going to relate to us in that, again, it factors in with all these key players on the zero Aries point. The eclipse is only 4 degrees out of 360 away from the zero Aries point. And not only is the eclipse relevant to that, it's exactly on the planet Pluto. Pluto ruling nuclear war, destruction, annihilation, and rebuilding out of the ashes, power, control, and terrorism.
It sounds like it can be very traumatic. It's going to be very, very traumatic one way or the other.
When you take all the previous energies I've described in the solstice report and add an eclipse on Pluto to it, I would maybe predict another terrorist attack this summer or a natural disaster equal to the magnitude of 9/11. And I'm not a doom and gloom sayer, and I have been wrong before, so I don't mind being wrong in this instance, but there's going to be some major turmoil and energy that equals destruction where we gather together as a country and build out of the ashes.
So it gives us the opportunity once again to come together and learn to work together. This, like 9/11 was... an opportunity for people to unite. Of course, things were, basically put on a dish to do that, and we didn't utilize it that way eventually, but we made our choices. But it is another opportunity, basically, to when people are pushed into a situation that's so traumatic, like if a hurricane hits a whole village, then it means the whole village to come together instead of fighting over amongst themselves to rebuild their village back together and learn to work together once again. So out of
devastation. Which reinforces, that's exactly right. It reinforces the Jupiter, love, gratitude, magnitude next to Uranus, the planet of humanitarianism. Mm-hmm. But again, all these points that I've mentioned before, the Jupiter-Uranus together, Saturn, the conservative, the old guard, are in conflict to the eclipse and the solstice point. So they're all relevant to each other. So all these key players are interacting these next few weeks, but the influences are going to be felt for months afterward. Like what's going on in the Gulf right now with the,
the
Gulf
oil
of Mexico
spill.
There with the oil spill.
Yeah, but let's think if there's
a good foreshadowing of what can happen.
Yeah, and just not even talking about hurricanes that come through there. And then there's been a lot of earthquake activity all around the world. Nobody's even talking about that. There's been massive earthquakes all around the world that they haven't had in years.
And there'll be many, many more.
Chile lost 200-300 people a few months back, and then, there was just another one in the Pacific here in California. They've had a couple, and there's even talk of back east now that they see stuff happening possibly back east, even in the Mississippi area. Nobody even talks about the fault lines underneath New York City even, which would be really, God forbid.
On a map of the globe, Chile runs in a straight line to Haiti and New York City, and things are coming threes. And Uranus rules earthquakes, and Uranus is the only planet that sits exactly on the 0 degree Aries point.
Wow.
And what's really fascinating, with eclipses, you look at the degree that they're at, and whenever... in the future, whenever there's a transit of a planet or an eclipse or another eclipse or something relevant to that degree, you'll also see effects. And I looked this up, and Uranus goes over the eclipse point next June. So whatever happens with this eclipse, when Uranus gets to that point next June of 2011, it's going to shake things up even more, because that's another key phrase for Uranus. It shakes things up. It's the revolutionary, the unconventional person, the unrestrained, the unpredictable. That's why with Uranus, you always expect the unexpected. Another key player that comes in with the eclipse that moves on to the zero Aries point, it's actually only 2 degrees away, is the planet Mercury, which rules intelligence. And the way it shows up in the solstice report, which precedes the eclipse, is under secret intelligence, or getting intelligence from secret sources. And it'll be up to the U.S. government how they act on this information. Because you've heard rumors that they were aware of 9/11 and what was going to happen, and they didn't act on it. I don't know if that's true. If they did have accurate information about what was going to happen, who would believe that? That people would train in advance to commit suicide to hurt other people? That's just unfathomable in our culture. So yeah. Given the information, I'm going to go out on a limb and say here that there could be attack this summer that could even come from extraterrestrials or outer space. And we might never know if that's true or not, because they might keep it hushed up.
Or something else, or another device or diversion. But that, let me ask you, what about on the, how is the house within the next 3 months? Because I know a lot of people who are listening, especially in the United States, where there's a huge unemployment, and I don't understand it, but they didn't even extend the unemployment for people, or the amount for money for people unemployed. And anyway, they got money to pay for more infrastructure for other countries. That's what's sort of pretty bizarre. Anyway, what do you show within the houses as far as the money situation financially within the United States for people concerned with the next 3 months?
Well, the money is definitely going to be a key issue. It falls with the sign of Leo, which is stubbornness, being really trying to still project that we are a major country or a major economic benevolent society. We're really going to try hard to project that image and do everything we can to maintain that. But there is going to be lots of issues with outsourcing, and I don't think that's going to be to our benefit. But, yes, that's going to definitely be a key issue. A lot of our ego is involved in our personal resources, and it could come across as arrogance. We're also going to be very emotionally attached to our resources more so, and that can be on a collective level, government level, or a personal level. We're going to be more motivated to spend money on ourselves, which I always say charity begins at home. And it's in our destiny as a nation to boost our economy, and that shows up really strong in this solstice.
Do you think that could lead toward more an isolationism approach to economics? And what I mean by that is moving into an area where you buy only American, made in America, because I remember a couple times the periods when in the U.S. they had some serious problems financially, and it was over a lot of exporting and people losing jobs, outsourcing. So there was at one time, I remember this happened back in the late 70s. I saw it in one period with Reagan era with the 80s where buy American, made in America. There was that attitude because it was so, such a problem that people were losing jobs, manufacturing jobs specifically. And now even service jobs, people, call centers are overseas now. So even that you talk about the Leo and the ego side, is it also maybe that maybe we have to go, in America have to regroup themselves back and maybe pay a little bit more to financially get so everybody's has a bigger piece of the pie amongst themselves, and that way it'll rebuild back to the U.S. economy. But it might separate ourselves from around the world, as like the world will be going down, the U.S. will be still tangent. That's my speculation. basically, I personally think that it's just adding, giving candy to the kids, keeping kids happy, but which is a different story. But do you see, is that what your, any speculation on that part?
Well, I think that's a good point you made about buying American. I think that's going to be prevalent, and we're at least going to be trying to project the image that we are, you know, still a superpower. But we're still going to be very reliant on foreign oil. And how it shows up in this chart is that our labor force is still going to be very much dependent on foreign sources, like made in China. Like you said, call centers are overseas. The service industry, foreign labor, that still comes up really strong, too. Even as we are encouraged to buy American and work on our own resources, we're still very dependent on others. And that could we need to form allies with other powerful players, and it's within our grasp to do that. Whatever we take upon ourselves to do too much American is going to be our undoing, and that can apply to anything, not just labor or money. The U.S. has to be very, very, very careful of being their own worst enemy at this time.
So it's like walking on that fine line still of being too
We're just too dependent on other countries at this point for our services and oil. And, you know, it was a thought that I had, and my brother kind of expanded on it, that maybe this oil spill, or God forgive me for saying this, was maybe perpetuated by the U.S., either by the government or by the wildlife people, to show that, oh, it's not good to drill for oil on our turf, because look what happens. We have a spill, and it devastates our resources. We need to go abroad for that. It'll be less liability for our country. These kind of things show up here, too. And with this eclipse and the Uranus, all these things can be exposed if, in fact, they do exist.
Now,
anything to do with joint resources or resources coming through or from other people is going to be unclear, and there can be an element of deception. And it can be very clouded or shaded in a guise of false optimism or idealistic thinking.
So let me ask you this. So then the because you had, and this gets back to, you brought up something, and I forgot where it was, but you were talking about new technology that can pop up. What about that? Actually, they've been suppressing. There has been technologies they've been suppressing, especially we do have the ability to implement free energy with electromagnetic energy. It was a perfect example. What do you suppose, like, for, because you brought up that new, with the Uranus and the taste of something different, that'd be challenging, and you said in the technology era, do you think that could be possibly the energy sources that we're using, which is, you know, right now obviously using fossil fuels, but moving away from that, even moving away not to going toward nuclear, but possibly, and not just wind, because everybody's wind, which is actually pretty simple, which I don't know why they're not implementing that as fast as possible. There's obvious reasons why not, for powers to be. But, and then there's, of course, solar, which I saw personally in, when I was in the Hopi villages. They all have, you know, panels on their house, and they have absolutely free energy, which is amazing why, you know, the average home in the United States doesn't have that. That could easily be implemented. So my question is, do you see any forefront of actual movement by, whether it's by the people or the government or something, to move ahead on a grand scale to change, or is it just going to be all talk like it's been for the last 10, 15 years? No matter who's in power, it seems it's always the same crap, personally.
I think we're going to see a lot of significant changes with Uranus and Aries, where it will remain until mid-August. Again, it's next to Jupiter, which magnifies and expands things. So, yes, big changes. Plus, it's going to be energized by the eclipse point. The eclipse is on Pluto. Pluto rules nuclear energy. Uranus is technology. All these key factors. One of the big things that jumped out at me doing these charts was the Saturn-Uranus opposition I spoke about. It's essentially, in layman's terms, it's the old guard versus the new guard. but you'll see the traditionalists wanting to go with what was before and hold strong there versus the new guard that wants to implement these new technologies and make these revolutionary changes. And this can apply to anything on any level. You're going to have old school versus new school. And that's going to be very prevalent for the next couple years. And we're going to get a taste of that this summer and over the next 6 months. So whatever comes out that's new and innovative is going to initially be suppressed. Old conscious versus new conscious. Very similar to the thinking and activities going on in the 60s is the best analogy I can come up with.
So sort of the same thing with what we went through with the so-called healthcare reform that was no real reform.
Old guard versus new guard.
Because it's sort of funny, you had brought that up in a past show that things are not going to be happy about that, and then lo and behold, that instead of giving what they promised during the elect campaign of having a real public option where we'd have the same option that the senators have, God forbid we have the same policies and opportunities the senators and congressmen have, they had to create some bullshit that the only ones who are benefiting actually are the insurance companies, which here it is once again, which makes the prices of healthcare going up and our premiums are going to still go up. It didn't really do nothing because it was, you know, purely a game play on the American people. So, and they, I mean, you had speculated that in your the analysis you did last time. So, in this coming front right now, you see basically a clash of technologies that possibly could happen over the energy issue. That's what it seems like. Because you're dealing with, you said Pluto, right?
Yeah, that's your interpretation, but it can apply on any levels to many things because we're looking at a larger picture, so that's your interpretation of one way it could manifest. Also, I want to talk, you know, the immigration issues have been a real hotbed, and I kind of missed that with my last report. But there's aspects in here that relate to war.
Uh-huh.
And we already have a war raging overseas, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. But there might be a war closer to home, and that maybe could possibly involve Mexico. That could become a real hotbed of contention. I mean, it's a pretty – maybe I'm just more aware of it because I live close to Arizona, but that seems to be very prevalent in a lot of people's mind, this immigration issues and the border control. And that could get more antagonistic. There could be more uprising within that, and there could be a war closer to home and on home turf. One of the other things I wanted to say real quick, too, Uranus and Saturn, again, they've been opposing each other for the last couple of years. But the last time I could find that they opposed each other, and I may be off with this, but the one significant opposition they had was in October into November of 08, and that exactly coincided with Pluto's entry into Capricorn, which was the collapse of the economy. And that carried on, that opposition, old guard versus the new guard, into February of 2009.
Where people were looking for a real change, no matter what they didn't get it, but what they were hoping for was some real change, but that was a real change.
You still have the opposition there. Whatever is new and innovative is repressed by authority figures.
Right.
The old, the traditionalists.
Well, it's funny you said the old and traditionalists. That could be like the old guard is the ones, as George Carlin said, the real owners.
was actually very strong. If you looked at the election of November 08, you had Uranus is not just the unconventional, but it doesn't, you know, look at race, color, creed, sexual orientation, and you had a dark-skinned person running for president with new age thoughts and idea, Uranus being a key word, change, that was the key word of his campaign, change, and at that exact time of the election, it was opposite Saturn, which was John McCain, very old school, very traditional, representing the Republican conservatives.
Right.
So it played out in the election. But now what you're going to see with this opposition of planets is they're going into more stronger signs, relevant to key points in the zodiac that affect us, not only as a nation, but the zodiac. It's just going to become, that energy is going to become so much stronger. So as you have this president that wanted change, sort of retreating into the old guard, you might see an uprising equal to that of what we had in the 60s. Back then, people wanted to overthrow the government, did they not? They really thought they could. And this
war raged on. It's funny you said that, because it was Johnson who, LBJ, who actually implemented the civil rights movement. Implemented the civil rights law, making it a reality. He was forefront in that during this, and you'd think of the old guard, he was actually changing, he would be like today's liberal Barack Obama. There's a lot of things that were changing under him, even though on the other side, he actually escalated us into a war that we shouldn't have been in the first place, which was Vietnam. So then people got resented him because of that. And then, so there was that resentment. And then there was, of course, Robert F. Kennedy, who was running after Johnson withdrew, and then he was killed, and that opened the door, which was travesty, which really opened the door for the Nixon administration, which allowed that administration to become a reality. So there was there can be a lot of unparalleled things that could happen, and that could go from one swing to another swing to another swing with such a short period. Like, mind-boggling.
Yeah, and this war rages on like the one in Vietnam. There doesn't seem to be an end in sight. The only difference, of course, is the draft. Right now, there is no draft in effect. But if they ever reinstated the draft, with the seven-year period that begins in earnest next year with Uranus in Aries, it would be war on the home front. It would be a revolution within our country. I feel that's my prediction. So we have to be careful. I wish, they incorporated astrology into the government, and they have at times past and were ridiculed for it. But it would be very helpful to them if they were able to use it, because they could see the pitfalls of their actions and harness it to their advantage, like you were talking about with the energy.
So there could be a reaction on also besides the political military thing, or something devastating, something is happening on our home front. But at the same token, like I reiterated before, you said something about technology coming up a front, but being suppressed once again, and then and even though people will be noticing that will start challenging themselves again. And then there, one other thing, and let's look at an overall picture, because it seems a lot of issues are taking place, is what about in a more spiritual context of the overall scope of the next 3 months then? If you're looking on instead of looking just on the material basis from, financial thing, what's going to happen, from the political side or devastation, on your interpretation, what would you see from looking at here's the 3 months on a spiritual thing? If you were doing a reading for somebody, this is your chart, this is what I see, and a recap of your spiritual issues you have to deal with. What would you say?
Well, everybody's chart is unique unto themselves. You can't put that on a collective basis. So
right.
When you look at charts,
you're
like
reading
this chart, if it
was an individual.
Well, as I said before, Jupiter is right there on the zero Aries point with Uranus, the new guard, and Jupiter rules religion. So Uranus being New Age next to the planet that rules religion, New Age religion, Uranus's enlightenment. Eclipses bring hidden things to light. So you could have a lot of spiritual enlightenment over the next month. But again, it falls opposite the planet Saturn, so it will be repressed. It'll be the old guard trying to hold strong. This country was founded on Christian ethics. And in the Midwest, in certain parts of the country, that ethic holds very strong. Even though with all the different cultures coming to our country, which is going to, back in the day, we had a large immigration front about 100 years ago. We embraced different religion, but it was the Christian stronghold that would repress or try and hold on tight to what our forefathers founded this nation on, as would oppose or oppress all this new age thinking. So if it doesn't take a foothold this summer when we're getting that little taste, that little appetizer,
well, there
we might see a lot more of it next year in 2011.
Yeah, they've already tried doing that, because I saw it was already in CNN where they tried coming on CNN with some religious orders, you know, whether I think it was from the Catholic Church, and they are calling saying that people who are spiritual is really leads to egotism. They're trying to find every way that anybody who is being spiritual, as opposed to religious, in their sense, is not good. They are trying to make anything to colorize somebody's spirituality as something negative, as opposed to making it that's the bad one. You know, like they'll use even the devil or the Antichrist or any implementation of lore to make it to colorize from the old guard to the new guard, to make that in a way of trying to suppress it. And like what you're just saying, like I said, this is on mainstream. I was in shock. It was in mainstream TV that they tried talking about it. And then they even took. I saw on mainstream TV where they had Alex Jones, who is, and they tried, he's not right wing, he's not left wing, and they tried collectively put him in there on MSNBC to make him look like a right wing nut, and he isn't. And then that's because they're trying, again, suppress it, not just a religion, but suppress and colorize things once again. It's like what you're talking about. You know, people don't realize, outside the United States who are listening, within the United States, there is a right wing and a left wing, but those wings are so small. It's a huge, big, huge volume of people who are independent-minded, and it's growing by day, and that's what's surfacing, which is what you're implying within people's challenging, because they're becoming more aware within the United States more and more. Actually, personally, I think more so than even in Europe for some reason, but which I have my own beliefs why that's happening. But there's a definitely
Venus rules freedom. It's sitting next to the planet Jupiter, which rules religion, so you automatically have freedom of religion, and it doesn't just fall anywhere in the zodiac. Okay, there's 12 different signs, 12 different houses, 360 degrees. The two planets that rule freedom of religion are right on the most crucial point of the zodiac. And that planet hasn't been there for 80 or 90 years, and it won't be back again.
So
in the sign of the pioneer, the initiator, for the next once it goes in 2011, it's going to be there for the following 7 years. It'll probably be opposed by the old guard, but after that, that'll fall off. So whatever happens in the next month and a half is going to be a very good taste of things that are going to happen
years down
the road.
So now I got you. So the first next couple months is the taste of that. There's that coming out, and then there's going to be a response, the challenge of it. And then there's going to be a challenge of suppression, and then after funny that you said after in 2 years, because 2 years is 2012.
And we're going to have our next election in, won't we? Or it'll be.
And
close
but
to
that's
that
a changing of things, and it goes to somebody which I'm going to. By the way, I'm seeing. If any of these out, by the way, in Los Angeles, by the way, you should go see Bashar and go on his online. I'm seeing him. He's having a little talk on the 19th. In Los Angeles, just go online to Bashar.org or .com, I forget what it is. But he had said something that's pretty interesting. He said 2012 marks not that it's a changing of energy, the momentum of energy, which correlates to what you're saying, which almost identical. It's a changing of the momentum of the way of thinking. He interpreted as being, he was saying it was more positive as opposed to negative, as we've been more negative as opposed to positive in the last whatever. But it's really interesting that that's almost like correlates to exactly what you're saying, and I've heard other people, other esoterics actually correlate to what you're saying as well. So it's like amazing.
Can I get one more point in there real quick?
Yeah.
Real quick, because I know we're almost out of time. No, there's this eclipse is also kicking this up a notch because the degrees are very close and relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus, freedom, okay, the revolutionary, is going to be going back and forth over this current eclipse. Uranus is going to be going back and forth over that point from June 2011 till January of 2013. So whatever happens with this eclipse at the end of the month, those issues are going to be stirred up within that time period, June 11th to January 2013. So that those issues are going to come back around. Whatever happens now, again, within those two-year time periods. So what we're looking at, and we looked at a much broader picture than just the next 3 months. We're looking at things that are going to happen in the next 3 months that are going to be become even more prevalent. It's like you said, an appetizer of what is going to come over the next 2 years. And that would be a good summation of everything I said today. This is a taste of things to come, a glimpse into the future.
Wow. So we're going for some serious heavy changes. By the way, how's the weather in Vegas?
It's been nice. It hasn't been as hot, and it still continues to be very windy.
So we're having some unusual changes in our weather because here's been sort of cold. We have had actually cool water, and I heard in Vegas somebody told me it's been sort of pretty cold out there. So it's sort of unusual. Maybe this all this weird stuff happening physiologically in our Earth right now. And it's not global warming or global cooling. It's climate change, but it's not us, but it's causing it. But I think it's pretty interesting how the Earth is having some serious effects, you know, and what you're talking about too, with all the, you know, movements,
Uranus
and earthquakes and all that
earthquake
stuff.
Earthquakes and explosions.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's in a very crucial degree of the zodiac. So look for that.
When was the last time that happened, though? I'm just curious. That you said the Uranus were to have effect on the Earth into those degrees, that possible earthquakes or whatever. When was the last time you
saw it? It always does. It's always, Uranus always has an effect. That's what it rules, is earthquakes and explosions. But what makes it different now is it's on the Aries point, which is the most crucial degree in the zodiac. So it just comes to the fore. It's always something that's there, but right now it's front and center stage, and it's mixed in with all the other players that I told you about, Jupiter, Pluto, the Sun and the Moon, and in the eclipse chart, Mercury. So there was a lot of information we threw out there today, and we weren't really organized on our presentation, but I'm going to have articles up on my website, which is zodiacbuzz.com, next week that'll go into more details, and it'll be more succinct and organized. You can read on the summer solstice and then on the eclipse and draw your own conclusion. Again, that's zodiacbuzz.com, and that'll be up by Monday, at least the solstice report will.
And they can contact you at that from your website?
Yeah, my email is just Kerry, Kerry, at zodiacbuzz.com, and my 1-800 number is 866-395-1340, and that is for booking a reading.
And do call her.
And astrology.
And do call her. She's excellent. And now I understand I understand that you're still doing some feng shui or something like that with homes. Heard something to that nature?
Yeah, I'm still going to school for design, so I'm starting my own design company, Intuitive Interior, relevant mostly to the Las Vegas area, and I'm focusing on redesign and home staging if anybody's interested. And you can reach me at that same number, 866-395-1340. I am knowledgeable in feng shui, which is a great way to decorate your house to make your finances prosper, your relationships prosper, your career prosper, and to promote better health. There's a lot of different things you can do with feng shui. And, you know, I'm always happy to do your place, Andy.
I want to thank you once again, Kerry, for coming on my show. It's been another enlightening, and I know we jumped back and forth from different things, so I was trying to zero in on certain points that you were talking about. And again, anybody have any questions or whatever, contact her directly, or if you send emails and you don't have her email, you can direct them to me and I'll be happy to forward them to her. Or if you want to get a reading, I highly recommend getting a reading or an astrological analysis. It's highly, very good thing to do, especially if you want to look out what your year scope is to be. Especially astrologically, it's really pretty good. It's highly, it's great to know your roadmap, let's put it that way.
Thank you, Andy, very much for having me on the show.
Thank you. And again, anybody out in the Las Vegas area, I will be there next weekend. And with that, I want to thank everybody for listening. And if you catch this show on an archive, for all the detailed information that I know we jumped from one thing to another, and some things was highly technical, recheck it out. And again, God bless you, and thank you once again. And I'm going to close with Mississippi by Angie Matson. Do check out AngieMatson.com. Her album has been released, Skeleton Arm, and you got to get it. It is fucking cool, man. Rad. Anyway, God bless you all. Love and light, and take care. God bless.
Drifter, baby, why you gotta run? Only muse in the setting sun. Go to the end of the other direction, and the miles will be your protection. Hey, hey, let's meet at the Mississippi, yeah, yeah. Hey, hey, let's meet at the Mississippi, yeah, yeah. We'll take a riverboat down to the desert town. A riverboat down to the desert town. A riverboat down to the desert town. We'll take a riverboat down, down, down. Take a riverboat down at the Delta town.